Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this fifth Sunday in Lent, Pastor Chrissy was joined by Neil Green from CBF to discuss the offering for global missions. Here's Heather Joplin with our scripture reading.
I'm reading from John 12, verses 20 through 26. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hello, Greystone. It's good to be with you again this Sunday as we continue our journey in Lent, focusing on truth and reconciliation. Today, we are joined by Nell Green. She's going to tell you a little bit about herself in just a minute. Nell is here as an extension of our focus on the offering for global missions. So we've been learning about global missions, about field personnel and CBF and how CBF are engaged kind of around the world, but also in the United States. Mm-hmm. And Nell has a ton of experience in this area. And so I'm going to be quiet and let Nell tell you a little bit about herself, her story, and her passion for global missions.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. It's great to be with you all. I hope that this is not the only time that eventually we're going to get to do this in person. Post-pandemic, that's going to happen. I'm believing it, especially now that I'm living back in this area and can actually make it to Greystone. I'm no longer in Texas. So just a little bit about myself. Butch and I left for the mission field in 1986. So we have been serving since the birth of our first child over 37 years now. Those initial years were in Senegal in West Africa. And then in 1994, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship was about a year and a half old, and we began serving with them. So we've now served with CBF for 27 of those 37 years. We started out in Miami, Florida. For those of you who know Touching Miami with Love Ministries, we were the founders of that ministry. And then mostly because of some of our experience, we ended up in downtown Brussels, Belgium, ministering among refugees from the Middle East and North Africa. By the time we came to the United States, you had had 9/11, and Islam was very much on everybody's radar. And so we came back to the States to help the American church understand Islam and engage with their Muslim neighbor. We did that for a few years on the East Coast. And then we were called to Houston, Texas, where we lived and worked for the last 10 years among refugees and immigrants in an extremely diverse city, arguably one of the most diverse in the United States. And then just a very short time ago, the end of October, Butch went ahead and retired, and I took on the role as the Offering for Global Missions Advocate. And for those of you who are wondering what that means, basically, the Offering for Global Missions funds the long-term presence of field personnel in their respective locations. And my new role is to advocate for them and to advocate for that missions offering.
That's wonderful. Now, I wonder if you could tell us, you use a phrase that I really love, and you just said it, long-term presence. Can you explain for us a little bit more about what that means and why that's so important?
Sure. So there are two funding venues, avenues for CBF field personnel. It's divided up into their mission programming and then their long-term presence. And mission programming is exactly what it sounds like. It's the money and the funds that they need to carry out their programs, their ministries. But their ability to be present, to live and to work, so their salary, their benefits, their housing costs, their children education, that is funded through the offering for global missions. And the way I like to explain it is this: it permits them to do exactly what that says, be present. Mm-hmm. Be present to relationships, be present to churches, be present to their community, be present to their partners, and to do the things that only can be done as you're in relationship. You can have a lot of programs, but funding the long-term presence funds their ability to be engaged in those relationships. And what that means is they're spending their time bearing witness to Jesus Christ, seeking transformational development, and cultivating beloved community. So there are two ways to engage with your field personnel. I don't know about Greystone, but you have the opportunity to be engaged very personally, one-on-one with your field personnel and help them with their mission programming. But you're able to help all CBF field personnel as you engage with the offering for global missions.
Wow. You mentioned bearing witness to Christ, seeking transformational development, and building beloved community. Mm-hmm. Can you break those down for us to help us understand what those three pillars of this long-term presence kind of look like on the ground?
So, you know, I think you've been listening to some of the videos, right? And you hopefully have listened to some of the videos of some of my most wonderful special friends, Janae, Angel, and Hari Kano. In fact, I was on a Zoom call with them this morning. Janae actually took over the ministry that we began in Brussels, and then she and her spouse, Hari, moved that to Antwerp. I don't know of anybody that can start a faith conversation easier than Hari Kano. Mm. And I don't know of anybody that has the gift of hospitality the way Janae Angel does. Janae can serve you a cup of coffee, and before long, you're pouring out your faith questions to her. You can be out, you know, on the street with Hari and just have met him, and before long, Hari is explaining to you what it means to be a follower of Christ in their everyday lives, how they live, how they relate, they bear witness to Jesus Christ. I think of my own experience before leaving Houston, got a phone call one day. Hey, I was told that you could help me understand what it means to be a Christian. The young woman was of the Muslim background, but she had a lot of faith questions, and she literally picked up a phone book and called the church that we were connected to. We sat at a Starbucks and we just had coffee. She's one of the most precious people, a dear friend to this day, and made the decision to become a follower of Christ and to be baptized in the local church. So it's basically living out your life in such a way that you invite faith conversations. When I think about seeking transformational development, I'm sure you probably know of Touching Miami with Love Ministries and the important work of Angel Pittman and Jason there. Another couple that's in Asia, I can't mention their names, were very burdened for the street children that they saw. And many of the children are on the street because parents just don't have the money. They've got to be out working. Some of them are incarcerated. And so children are just left on the streets. And that then engages them in either drug abuse or sometimes they get taken into the sex industry. So these incredible people started a foster home with their partners, but made it such that parents could continue to be engaged in the children's lives so that parents are able to transform, but the children, by education, by learning to relate well to their parents, their futures are very bright. And when I think of things like building beloved community, I just got finished writing an article about someone, again, that I've known since before they went to the field, Jeff and Alicia Lee. Alicia serves as a counselor with an international school in North Macedonia. And after COVID hit and they shut down, Alicia was asked to come on and be one of the folks that would help them figure out how to reopen. And her task was the social and emotional needs of the children and keeping that a priority. Alicia started getting so much feedback from children and from parents and from teachers of children who were having outbursts of anger, who were erupting into tears, who were coming to Alicia with some of the burdens that their family was facing. So Alicia was able to not only provide the counseling service needed, but things like Wellness Wednesday, where they did school completely different so that they were focused on the emotional needs of the children and the families. At the end of one of those Wednesdays where they had spent a day outside, children came to Alicia saying, "I've not felt this good since pandemic started." Just these ways that she says, "You're my community. We love each other. Let's figure out ways that we can come through this pandemic together and all be well on the other side of it." Those are just some examples. I have so many stories, Chrissy, that I could tell you of your field personnel, as well as my own stories of the ways that we do these three things.
Wow. Well, so if I can summarize what I've heard, it sounds like by participating in the Offering for Global Missions, we as a CBF church are supporting our missionaries, and we don't call them missionaries, we call them field personnel. We're supporting our field personnel so that they can live out their calling in the world using these three pillars of long-term presence, being able to share the gospel, right? Share the good news of Jesus Christ and help people understand what it means to be a follower of Christ.
One of the ways that I explain it is this: what we are actually doing, stakeholders, leaders, and participants, we're coming together to create a culture where mission thrives and flourishes. It's not just about your field personnel. It's not just about the churches. It's not just about the people that we're engaged with. It's all of us coming together and creating that kind of culture. And the Offering for Global Missions is one of the ways that we create that kind of culture where missions can thrive.
I love that. And one of my favorite things about what you're describing is, the word transformation is such an important word. I think there are hints of resurrection. There are hints of self-sacrifice that kind of weave themselves throughout the Gospels. And I can hear it coming through the ways that you've described mission and ministry and long-term presence, transformational opportunities, building beloved community. And I love something that you said earlier about this isn't about going to a place with some set of prepackaged programs. And in fact, a lot of times, and maybe in all instances, relationship comes first. It's way more important than the program itself.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the most amazing things about this is when I first started out in ministry, and, you know, we came home to speak in our churches and you also faithfully watched our slides and hung on to our stories. But, at times like that, that was in the days of nothing but rotary dial phones, right? And handwritten letters. You know, when we came home, we were kind of your window to that world of missions.
Yeah.
But that's not true anymore. Now, you don't just hear our stories, you enter our stories, you engage, you are a part of the story, and you journey with us. And the Offering for Global Missions is just one of the ways that we do that.
Mm, I love that. And I think that helps. I know in a few minutes we're going to get to this, but that helps alleviate some of the burden of guilt I think many of us feel if we're not called to be a field personnel for CBF. You know, we can't also do that thing. But we can participate in it and support it and enable it in our own way.
Well, and let me tell you, it lifts a burden off your field personnel too, because we're not in this all by ourselves. We're all in this together. And that's a wonderful thing. It helps us know that when we are in the day-to-day business of it, that our partners literally are right there with us.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Social media opens up some new opportunities for that too, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Absolutely.
Do you have somebody who can help us out with that? Who can help us with social media and get us?
Yes, I do know somebody who can help you with that.
We'll put that in the notes for today's sermon. We'll put
there you go.
Your daughter's contact info. You know, this is the sermon time. And one of the things that we like to do in sermons is center ourselves in scripture. And today, the lectionary reading for today fits so beautifully with what you're sharing with us in the way of stories around mission. We heard it read in the worship service not long ago, but I want to lift up the second half of our reading for today. It's from John's Gospel, chapter 12. And Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." And I love that motif. Of giving of ourselves, of letting our lives go, and the idea that we might find our life in losing it.
Yeah, I think one of the wonderful things about the Offering for Global Missions and about how small our world has become, it allows any and everyone to creatively invest in this kind of culture that helps missions thrive. It's no longer just about the person that you send. Yes, the person that you send, they are giving life. But when you give to the Offering for Global Missions, when you join us in prayer, when you join in as a volunteer, and when you, you know, do things like encourage your field personnel, you too are making that investment. You too are creatively joining in that mandate to be a follower, in that mandate that says, lose life so you will gain life.
Hmm. And I think we each have our own unique calling, right? The way that you're called to lose your life so that you might find it might be different from mine.
Absolutely. And that's one of the beautiful things about the way things are done these days in missions. And that's one of the reasons I love CBF's particular way of funding missions, because this allows for each and every church and individual to say, how is God asking me to engage in this? And, you know, let me just say, I really believe that as we come together in prayer on bended knee, I think that also creates that culture where missions can thrive, because together we're seeking God, together we're believing God, together we're finding God, we're experiencing God, and all of that together in our CBF community is creating this culture. To me, that's all of us together saying, we are the grains of wheat that are willing to fall to the ground. Right. And willing to die to self so that we can become and so that God can work in the world the way God has designed.
Mm. You know, that even has hints of legacy, too. You know, this idea that we're here to build something that is so much bigger than ourselves and to create change that, you know, that might be the fruits of which we might never see.
Right. You know? I totally agree. Yeah.
Well, Nell, I want to tell you thank you. For joining us today.
And it's just been my joy. Thank y'all for letting Francis join you for a minute.
Francis is always welcome to join us for worship. but we want to thank you for reminding us of just how important it is to remember our field personnel and remember and celebrate the good work that they're doing. The gift that you've given me today, and I hope that you've shared with the whole congregation, is a sense of connectivity. You know, awesome. During this season, we are separate from each other and we're really trusting on the Spirit to be our connector. And I know that I have felt God's presence connecting me to others during this time. And especially today, I feel more connected to our field personnel than ever before.
I'm so glad. And I'm joyful as well. You know, part of the thing, we have to celebrate what's good about pandemic. And one of the good things about pandemic has been this sort of interaction that honestly, would we have done if we had not had pandemic? And so so it's wonderful to be able to connect with you and your community again. Until the day that we get together.
I know, it's not the same, right?
Not the same. Grateful.
And we will. We have an open invitation for you and Butch and anyone in your family. Anytime you're in Raleigh, we'd love to see you, love to host you here.
Certainly we'll do it. You can count on it.
All right, sounds good. Well, Nell, thanks again for joining us today.
And thank you.
Reminding us of God's call to loosen the grip on our life a little bit so that we might live it in service of others.
Thank you.